Hey everyone, this is Rachel Mooney.
This is Cindy.
This is Maggie.
And this is Andrea. And you're listening to Real Her Talk, houses, heels, and real estate deals.
Okay, so first of all, I know we, let's be super clear. We did not make a dime off this podcast, right? Like there's like podcasters I know that do really, I don't actually know how you make money off podcasts. It's really irrelevant because that's not why we do this. But I did have to give a shout out to those of you on YouTube. You can see our amazing mugs. If you're listening on any other platform, you can't, but it's our logo with all, each of our names and Linda Wu, who is Red Dragon. She custom made all of these for us. They are awesome. We love them. We will do a shout out in this with her contact info. Because if you need anything custom done, she's amazing. And
it's so cute. It's so cute. And it, like, you can wash it a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. This is not going to come off. It's not a sticker. Yeah. Like, I don't know how she did it. It's like embedded in the
thing, right? It's not a sticker. So yeah, I don't know how that works.
So Linda, how did you do this? We want to know.
Inquiring minds. Yeah.
Yeah.
So shout out Linda. Thank you so much because we are so happy and excited with these. I can't kind of stop staring at it. Mm-hmm. All right. So nobody will know on the other side because of how we record, but we were all gone. I want to say last week, but I was sick last week. So it was 2 weeks ago. So just lost a whole week of life. If anybody else can relate to that. Mm-hmm. Rachel, Maggie, and I went to a big real estate convention. We left Cindy at home to man the fort and make sure the guys didn't completely go out of control. That was a big job.
It was a big job. Yes. It's really different when you're not around too.
That's fair.
It's boring, isn't it?
It's a little boring.
Quiet, boring. Yeah.
There's a whole, the energy is lower.
A little less, because I'm not running around like a maniac.
Yeah. It's funny though, because even when I didn't come into the office, if I knew you were out of town, I felt it. I don't know that when I would feel it, but I would be like, oh, I'm ready. And maybe because I know you're on vacation and I'm trying not to text you. Now I just text you all the time. She was sick last week. I'm like, how are you feeling? I have something to ask you.
I was dying laughing. And I go, I literally text her back. I'm planning on re-entering life on Monday.
Can this wait?
We can have friend texts now.
Yeah.
If you want work responses, that's definitely a Monday call.
Yeah.
But so anyways. So yeah, I could definitely. But now it's funny because my agents will tell me, you know, when I worked back in the day, well, I still work. But I'll say when I worked for somebody, it was always that way when like, the boss was gone, like you just felt it. You wanted them to come back. And it's funny when like I'm gone and my agents are like, I'm so glad you're back. Right. It's funny that somebody feels that way about
Yeah, you
don't think like, they do. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they miss that stuff.
Even though, you know, we're virtual a lot of the times with our Suwannee office. But yeah.
It doesn't matter. People
know.
They still feel it.
They feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we all left. Our lives, our businesses, kids, pets, responsibilities for literally a week. Now, I will say we had a fantastically good time.
Yeah. It was a girl's trip.
Plus Joe. We felt a little bad for Joe, but I do mean like.
He had a great time, don't you think?
He didn't suffer too bad.
No.
It was funny though, because normally we use these events as, and I'm assuming that's what you're going to ask us, but they're big networking events for us. But because it was a quick come and go for us with our season of life and kids and school, we spent more time with you guys than I think we normally do.
Yeah.
Because it had gotten to the point where we barely saw you guys during these events because we had all these extra stuff. And then now it was like, it was nice. Yeah. I liked it.
It was so nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, that was such good quality time.
Yeah.
For all of us that were there. But let's talk about that. Like, let's talk about like, why does quality time locally matter? You touched on networking, but also what do you have to rearrange to make this stuff happen? Like, it's not accidental. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't wake up 2 weeks before I left and was like, okay, so I got to rearrange my whole business, my schedule, everything. And kind of putting into perspective is that when we keep talking about all of us running really big businesses, we run really big businesses. I mean, every single one of us do. And I know you go to a lot of education events and make sure that you're staying educated and ahead. Why do we all do that? I mean, you talked about kids, like all the things. Like, what is the driving force for you, and what's the benefit? Whoever wants to go first can.
I don't think I have an option, because things in the mortgage industry are changing so fast, and new programs are coming out daily, and they're not like tweaks. They're like major changes. Like, who knew that now there'd be an investor that, for those people who are self-employed and have 1099 income, they're gonna let us use 90% of what's on your 1099 and qualify you, where before it was almost a death knell on trying to get a home, because
Repeat that one more time?
I need to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I was like, hold on, slow down, because for all of the kids at home, this is brand new and drastic. And it's funny because I'm watching out the side of my eye.
Were you Maggie's watching me?
Yeah, Maggie's face is like,
you know me well. Because mm-hmm. I was like,
you're like, hold please. Circle back to that. Yeah, circle back. That's brand new.
It is brand new. And I'm not sure that we've even had really the official training yet. But yes, it's out there.
So repeat what it is again.
Okay. So there's now a loan program.
Through North Point.
Through North Point, and we partnered with another company that kind of is developing it. Mm-hmm. But yes, we'll be able to talk to and help people who are paid by 1099 income. And what we will have to do, we can take 90% of the amount that's on the 1099 to help get them qualified.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And then what are the requirements? Like, how, I mean, you may not have all the details yet, but is it 2 years of being 1099 to qualify for that? Or is it?
That is the one thing I haven't heard, but let's just assume, and I will circle back on next week, but let's just assume, I'm going to assume that you have to be 1099, probably in the same field, mm-hmm. I would say. But if that,
makes sense.
But if it, I mean, if I was an investor, that's what I want. Somebody who's not just going rogue for a year. But if that isn't the requirement, then I will let all of you know this afternoon.
Yeah. No, I mean, that to me, that's game changing for people. Okay. So it's so interesting. And I always want to go back to some things that we talk about have political implications because they turn into laws, but that doesn't mean it's a political view. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that in a right way?
Right.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Because politically, I don't care.
Yeah.
To be totally transparent, I don't care. You have to sell your soul to get into places, and you owe somebody.
Right.
I don't care what side of the aisle or whatever people call it. You are selling your soul to somebody because
there is no such thing as a free lunch.
So regardless of whatever outcome, like all the things, right?
Yeah.
Is if you think about tax brackets, okay? I was watching this. Jeff Bezos owns some of the highest priced real estate in the United States. Makes sense, right? He's one of the richest men in the world. Do you know what his salary is? How much income he actually makes?
Probably nothing.
It's $1.7 million a year. Well, one of his houses is $450 million that he paid $450 million for. Okay, so let's think about this in a tax, and this is how this all impacts us, is because when you say, okay, you don't actually think Jeff Bezos saved up for 400 years to buy a $450 million house, do you? No. So he's only paying taxes max on like 1.7. It could be 1.9. I'm pretty sure it was 1.7 million in income a year. Great. Okay. Excellent. So how does he afford a $450 million house? Well, that's a separate thing. If somebody's interested in that, message us. I'll explain it. It's not relevant or interesting enough for me to go into it here. However, what happens is who's taxed at the highest are the highest. It's really the upper middle class, which is actually your small business owners, which is actually all of us, because we're running local businesses that are employing people here. And here's why that matters, is we are taking advantage of the tax write-offs that we are allowed to so that we can continue operating our businesses because it's so freaking expensive. And yet then we can't afford to even go buy ourselves a house mm-hmm. because you're penalized for that, or else you're paying 40 to 50% of your income in taxes after you also are paying business taxes and paying taxes on behalf of your employees. And here's the thing is that those of us running, I say big businesses, they're big, small businesses,
yeah.
right? Because we're right. not corporate. We're not mm-hmm. publicly traded companies. They're big businesses because they're big to us because we impact so many people locally. Mm-hmm. So what happens is we're the only thing standing in between the only option being corporate America. Mm-hmm. And so to have a look, to get back to have a loan program that's truly out there for people that are honestly busting their butt and doing nothing wrong by taking advantage of those tax right. breaks, but then also then can't even afford a house.
Yeah. Right. And there's a huge.
Can't afford, but not on paper.
Right.
That. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Thank you for saying yeah. that. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You cannot prove mm-hmm. that you have the ability to That's repay. Right. That's right. what we're basically yeah. doing.
It's because proof. If I don't take the tax break, then I'm literally just cutting the check to Uncle Sam right. mm-hmm. instead of being able to invest in my own Back property. Into your,
yeah.
Period.
And it's not like you're cheating out the system. I talked to somebody one time that didn't understand how all of that worked. I said, no, the government sets this up. You know, yeah. they do set these tax relief, you know, things so that we can use to do that.
No, somebody, it was a CPA that said this to me once. I believe it was Fred Bumpus. So if it's mm-hmm. you, Fred, then take credit. If it's not,
sorry,
take credit anyways. no, to your point is that the default is tax brackets. Like you make this much, it's that. That is like literally the first five pages of the tax code. The other, yep. all the other thousands of pages are all about how to not pay that amount of tax. And that's totally legal.
Yep. Yeah. There's a book called, is it Win-Win Tax or something? I'll have to put it and give it to you so you can include in it. But it basically, for any small business owner, it's a great book because it shows like what, how you can also, you know, take advantage of those. Yeah. And it's funny because as business owners, a lot of people don't know. And that's what we happened to us is we were just a, you know, sole proprietor or whatever, where everybody thinks that everybody is. And first year we made some good money. We had to really pay because we had no idea. And so we ended up having to pay a lot of taxes. And then also we had to buy our house lease purchase because mm-hmm. we had to have 2 years. And then even then it was a interest rate because of the debt. Right. It was the bank statement loan that yeah. we did. So it was all this stuff that we did not know that we do know now. And now we're like an S corp and you know, all of those things. And again, why do I go to events? Because I learned you all learn these things.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like our KW Wealth Masterminds, mm-hmm. like this is where we learned all this.
How much money did it save you in taxes by going to masterminds?
Oh gosh, it was a lot. Like literally one mastermind is the very first workshop we had. It was very first ever workshop they had. I want to say saved us, this might be wrong, but anywhere from like 20 to 40, maybe even $50,000. I mean, like mm-hmm. it was something crazy. And it's been great because then now we have a tax strategist because we know that we need that for our business now because now we have several businesses. Mm-hmm. And so he tells us, you know, we were paying ourselves too much of a salary. And he's like, you need to lower your salary. You need to do this. You need to. And so it's just very, as you grow a business, these events and these conferences, these people and the networking that you create, like they do help your business all around. I mean, we've made many of these. I mean, our estate attorney is through one of the workshops through KW Wealth. Like he came and spoke at one of the KW Wealth workshops and he actually lives here, which is crazy. And his wife and I are both went to Brunel University. We're both Zetas. And her little sister and I live in Watkinsville and we're good friends. Not, but her sorority little sister.
No, I know, but still, like, that's
I met you when we were in Phoenix or something.
Yeah.
In Phoenix, and then our plane was delayed and we were chit-chatting and asked us about going to Brunel. She's like, wait a minute, were you a sorority? And I was like, yeah. She's like, which one? And then we're like, oh my God. So anyways, that's it was awesome. So funny, but small world. But anyways, all that to say, I mean, this is the reason because there's so many people out there that don't know all. And there's so many things that can help you be a successful business owner because that's what you are.
everything from the real estate stuff to the money stuff, because there is a lot of money stuff involved.
And I think if you talk to a person, I mean, you could read a book, but a book goes,
and they're boring.
Well, they're
blank
boring.
List.
Yeah.
Blinklist. Everybody should go download that app.
Yeah.
It is any business book in 15 minutes or less, and it gives you the actual high points, action items, and stuff. But anyways, I know what you're about to say, and you are correct. And if you cannot sit through some of these books, but you still need the material, Blinklist. You're welcome. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and what I, if you told me about what I could do in a conference or in a setting like that, and then you make it actual doable for me, because so many times I will read things, even loan programs, I'll read the new one and go, this is just so hard, and this is going to just be a nightmare for my clients or for my clients' clients, that I'm not, there's got to be something else, and I will tend to push it away. But if I'm sitting next to a loan officer who actually went through it and said, here are the gotcha points and here's how you do it, and so then I go, okay, I can do that.
But if you hadn't read it, you wouldn't know what question to ask.
Well, that is the truth. And that's one thing about the mortgage industry. They just keep shoving these things in front of your face until you start reading them. Because I've been in the business a long time, but I don't think I've ever been, except when we had negative interest only weird stuff that was so wrong. But now so many things are coming out, and actually people are thinking about, okay, where is the balance between risk for the investor and an opportunity for people to get into homes, which is really the one of the best ways for them to even have any wealth. Yeah. And I think right now people are working harder to make those reasonable things. It can't be all one way or another.
No. And we swung from one way of ridiculously easy to that it never should happen, to quite frankly, the complete opposite.
Exactly.
And it was like American Express. Like American Express, if you like defaulted on a credit card with American Express 20 years ago, they still won't give you one.
Right. I know, we were able to get an American Express. We're like, oh my goodness.
We made it.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny.
And now my husband's become a points junkie and miles junkie.
I'm a points and miles junkie too.
I just recently started that.
Yeah.
I never really cared about it.
He is like diamond status. But what really stinks is that I'm diamond status when I travel with him. But if I were to travel alone, I am not.
Yes. You get masters.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway.
Okay, so I will have to give Florin some serious props here. Florin's one of our top agents as well. And that man is a points master. Like, pick his brain occasionally.
Maybe
he has...
Talk.
You know there's a points managers.
There are.
There are that you can hire.
Yeah,
that
no.
manage managers. Your points.
Yes.
Yeah.
And maximize...
It's like couponing. Makes me hit I don't...
It
I
feels
didn't,
overwhelming.
It does. Like, I...
So you know what I did with Florin? Here's what I do with anything. Okay. I'm about to spill the tea on my secrets here. When I find out somebody's
to
good.
The entire
world. But we don't know actually who's going to listen. You don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Somebody, if you use this, tell me, because I would love to get this. So when I find out somebody's like really good at bargain hunting, or if they're good at like credit cards, or they're good at whatever, I'm like, well, so perfect example. Lubna's an agent in our office. Her sister-in-law's, two of them, work at different Saks in different parts of the country. So she gets, like, all this, like, deals, like, private stuff. And I'm like,
who is this again?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We need to know.
Yeah. And so I go, how about phone a friend?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not using something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pass it around.
Pass it around.
Maybe one of us will be interested.
Right. So when Jennifer's, Mahoda's daughter was in college in Mississippi, they had all these cute little stores that had, like, they would do, like, a
wine trays that were the Veuve label.
Oh, yes, I've got one of those.
Yes.
Yes.
So then I don't want to go to Mississippi, and I don't want to go shop for that stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I would say to Jennifer, when you're in those stores, send me pictures. I'll Venmo you. So she does. So then, like, so you figure out. So Florin, what I did with him, I was like, okay, so you obsessively research all this stuff. Just send me the links to the credit card because you'll get a bonus for me signing up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I get an extra bonus. And so then he tracks it, and now it's win-win. Because he's good at it.
Yeah. Well, listen, if anybody wants a new car, I just got the new Tesla on Saturday.
Stop. You did not.
I did. And they're having a deal right now. I can refer a friend, and that person gets $1,000, and then I get $500. So there we go. I can do that. Wow. So I can refer. So if any, yeah.
What'd you get?
I got the...
I'm such a car junkie.
I got the long drive Y... whatever the sports one is. What's the high performance one.
Nice.
Do you love it?
It goes 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. It's the fastest car ever on the road.
Wow.
It's fun.
Have you?
I would say Porsche V8 goes pretty fast.
It does, but it needs 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's faster.
It is.
Yeah.
The Rivian the SUV is 3.8 seconds, and I got to drive that, and I was like, it felt like being in a freaking rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's like a roller coaster. It takes your breath away. Yeah. Like
it's crazy. Oh, I know. They're having a deal on it right now. So FYI, we can just tell our podcasters.
No, because you get a tax break based on tonnage.
Yep.
So this is important.
And you get there's a $7,500 credit. So if you make $300 or under, mm-hmm. then you get a $7,500 tax advantage on top of that.
Oh.
And it's a 1.99% interest rate.
Shut up.
I am saving almost $800 a month to drive that versus my Mercedes.
Stop. Okay, I'm going to have to talk to you afterwards also.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to have
that
to
includes
discuss.
Fuel.
You're having a seminar
that also
after.
Includes fuel, but that is a huge savings every single month to drive that. Yeah. So I was against them for the longest time. So people were like, you're a hypocrite. Until I got in it on Saturday and I was like, okay, I totally get why people are going this route. So.
Well, let's go with it's fun and whatever, because the minute somebody's like, it's because I want to be green and friendly to the planet, because I know that's not how you're saying that.
Yes.
I'm like, y'all, do your research.
It's actually worse for the planet.
Your reusable bags create more pollution than the plastic bag. Y'all, do the research, please. Mm-hmm. Pretty please.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to drive,
Oh,
but the savings, I think just the savings alone as far as like no more premium gas, no more car maintenance, because there's no maintenance on it except for tires, because the battery has 100,000-mile warranty on it.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's like zero maintenance. And then the car payment alone between going from that to from the Mercedes to that is a huge,
I'll be chatting with you about that. We're going to have a private convo after.
Yeah, I was going to say we've changed the
subject.
I know. I'm so sorry. No. I was going from couponing to.
But that's the point of these podcasts.
Yeah.
This is the point of the podcast. This is what women, like. Come on, y'all.
And this is part of networking. This is why we go to events, because we learn so much about not just the industry, but life in general. And I mean, the relationships that you make.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all about the relationship. It was funny. I had a meeting with Brian Fair, who's the founder and of our Atlanta Partners group, which is massive. He's very, he's one of the most brilliant people that I have had the opportunity to work closely with. Him and Kat and Estes, we'll have to have both of them guests.
Yes,
we'll make a male exception maybe for him.
Yeah.
We're definitely not doing it for any of our husbands.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mine would just take over the whole conversation and pretend like he's on stage as a comedian.
Oh, that's
so
funny. Shane's fun.
He is. He loves to make people laugh.
But I said, but Brian was saying like, wait, what were we talking about? I just totally lost my train of thought. I started thinking about Shane and something funny he had done, and I don't even remember, whatever. I was thinking in my head about him and Seth cracking up, and I was like, what event were we at? And then I was like, wait, what was I talking about? I got totally derailed there.
I think you're talking about a conversation you had with him.
Yeah.
You're talking about trips. He owns Atlanta Partners.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great individual. Him and Kim.
Big business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got nothing. Cool. Okay. So we'll have him on, and we'll figure out what the heck I was thinking about.
Yeah. There you go.
You'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. I think the other thing I would like to say, though, about the taxes and everything, and that I did learn from Brian, and y'all can back me up, especially with your financial background,
Do any of y'all manage your own finances completely alone at this point? I mean, no. You talk about tax strategists and stuff. No. You have a finance degree.
Mm-hmm. I have some of my inheritance and finances are because both my parents are deceased and we lived on a farm. So farm ground was quite lucrative.
Sure.
For them. So I don't have enough financial help. And my biggest problem is that I overthink who you need to go to a conference so you can find people who yes, can get with mm-hmm. who is a really good right. financial mm-hmm. planner. And mm-hmm. I do have one that was my parents and he's in Indiana and he handles some of it, but a lot of it is just kind of willy nilly, you know, the fidelities and everything.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. But, and we're not really, we're not a very complicated, couple.
It's not mm-hmm. even that. I had the opportunity to learn through paying quite a bit of taxes that mm-hmm. I didn't know I was unnecessarily paying. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking $50,000-$60,000 a year too much.
Right.
Uh-huh, she's giggling because she knows. Right. You've been there. It's painful. You've been there. Mm-hmm. It's awful. Mm-hmm. Is the person in before, your person that, so I use Crystal Crumbs. We're going to name drop some people here, but Crystal runs all of our P&Ls. We even run a P&L on our personal mm-hmm. side so that now that I've learned Cindy, I'm sorry, we're going to take you out as a vote. Does anybody else love P&Ls and love the financials and love reading it? And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, you do. I know. No, I hate it.
Yeah. Now
the nitty gritty. Yeah. No.
Plug anything in.
No.
I just want the results and the numbers and the percentages.
Yeah, that's what I like. Just to look at that, like high level look at it.
I like the math.
I know you do.
Yeah.
But that's why I said you can't be in this vote. But I learned that the person before is more important than the person after.
Yes.
So having the great bookkeeper, strategist, all of that kind of stuff matters more than who your CPA is.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're a bookkeeper. Yeah.
We've got, you know, everything CPA ahead of time.
Is just collecting data that you've already created correct. Before.
Yes.
And Crystal, that's where you can fix the problem is there.
Yeah.
And you can't fix it afterwards.
No.
And
mm-hmm.
Crystal will be like, hey, you guys have like, because some stuff, I mean, with owning our own businesses, we can't always, I don't know for 100% certainty within like $1,000 of where I'm going to end in my income in the end. I have an idea. I have a budget. We have a forecast, right? All the things, but I cannot estimate it that well, like down to the penny or even $1,000. Well, so Chris will be like, you guys are getting too close to this tax bracket. And it's like, it's November. I need you guys to go spend X amount of money on business things. Mm-hmm. Were you putting off buying a computer? Were you putting off buying yeah. this or that? Because she's like, either go buy it for the business or you're just going to give it to the IRS.
Right.
Yeah. Pit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But until you have somebody in your life that freaking tells you that, I don't know that.
Well, and even into like, you know, every entity, like if we're investors and so we have, you know, different parts of that, you know, we have Fast Track Offers, which is our investment business, you know, that offers fast, you know, cash offers. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we've got our Santurnos, it's with our partner, and that we've got some holds in there. We do some flips through there. But we didn't know until talking to, and I think it was either our tax strategist guy and even our estate attorney as well. Like, you should have separate LLCs for everything. Mm-hmm. So LLCs for your flips, LLCs for your wholesales, LLCs for your holds, LLCs for this, like an LLC for everything. And don't name them with your last name.
Nope. Yeah.
And so for tons of reasons, again, but these are things that like people have no idea about mm-hmm. unless you're in these circles and you're putting yourselves in these rooms.
So were any of you raised with this information?
No. I didn't even know how to balance a checkbook.
Girl, like, I was nothing. So financially, it was awful.
No. So we're having a very high level tax sheltering conversations mm-hmm. at this table.
Yeah.
You grew up on a farm.
Yep. I did.
Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up having these conversations. You didn't. So the I don't want anybody to feel like, I don't even understand how they're learning this. It's getting the right rooms.
It's getting right. in the right rooms.
That's exactly
and then
what
now we're spent. Passing it to our kids. Yes. Like I was taught, Olivia mm-hmm. is just now getting her first, I mean, she just got her first house under contract
Yay!
This weekend, but she also is getting her first salaried position with a corporation Aww. Because we wanted her to kind of feel that yep. side for a while and figure out if that's something she wants. So she starts September 9th with at a salaried position. And she's doing pretty darn good, and she gets benefits and all that. And I was talking to her this morning about what to do with her money when yeah. she gets it. And mm-hmm. I said, I wish my parents would have taught me this stuff in my 20s. Yes. But I had zero conversation. I didn't have anything. I had zero conversations about any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the kids, our children, learning what we have taught them at such a young age are going to be so yes. much more advanced. Yeah. And hopefully much more financially stable than we could ever think about.
Yeah, I just finished writing my 3-year vision. So with my coach, I do the 12-week year. And so
what is that? So the 12-week year, sorry, 12-week year, it's a book.
Actually, mm-hmm. Emma, there is a work book to go along with it. But basically, essentially what it means is you break down, it takes the concept of like that final quarter of the year, if you're in sales and you have to hit a goal and you are going, you know, you normally probably are going to hit it the hardest at the very end because you got to get to that certain goal. Well, basically the concept of why not take that same mentality for every quarter of the year. And so you create your big year goal and then you break it down into quarters and then you work towards those goals. And so one of the things that you do is you write out a vision, and she's tasked me with this before. You know, I've been coaching with her for 3 years, and I don't know that I've ever done it correctly and truly in it. And so she sent me hers as a just reference, and I loved it because she speaks as if she's there.
Yeah.
Where I speak as what I hope. Mm-hmm. So like I hope that this so like I
there's forced, not a connection
there's
between
not
that.
And mm-hmm. that's what he says in 12-week year mm-hmm. you need to write your vision and you need to have an emotional connection to it because yeah. that is your why and that's going to be what like drives you to hit yeah. these goals
putting
and
it
so
out there.
Yeah
putting
it
out there,
out
speaking
there.
It, yeah.
And so I finally this weekend sat down, I bought the workbook, I've had the book for a couple years, bought the workbook and was going through the workbook, and because I came back from mega camp and completely just like blew up my goals just from some ahas that I had, but and I forced myself to dream because I don't dream, and we go to these conferences and a lot of the KW Wealth workshops, every time we're there he makes us write down like our bucket list, and I have the hardest time writing items in it. And I guess I have a hard time dreaming. I have a hard time setting goals that are super hard. Like I want attainable goals. But anyways, and so I wrote this vision down. And in 3 years, you know, I'll be 44. I'll have a junior in college, a sophomore in college, and a junior in high school. And JoJo has, so JoJo's my oldest. He's a senior in high school. His plan for several years has been to play collegiate golf. And he has in the last week told us that he no longer wants to do that.
Wow. I was
yes.
like, I didn't know that.
Yes. No, it's new information. He actually wants to get his real estate license in February because he'll be at 18, and he wants to, go to UNG, which is a local community college for a year, transfer to Georgia, UGA, go Dawgs, and then, go to law school. It's like, I mean, this kid that it's like, you know, that. And he is so focused on, I want to be financially secure so that when I decide to have a family, I can support my family. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to have a family. I can't support him. And I'm like, honey, that's called just growing up. Your dad and I had nothing and we're okay. But he knows that we had nothing. He knows that financially we were a mess and it was hard and we struggled. He doesn't want that. And so it's broken Joe's heart a little bit because, you know, we've invested a lot of money and time and in tournaments and everything. I mean, he still wants to play, and I think it's a great sport that will continue to put him in front of great people. I also think going to Georgia is a social investment because you get to meet people, and if you yeah. plan on staying in the area, that's great for business and
yeah.
yourselves, networking.
Yeah.
But he and Joe went to dinner last night, just
some one-on-one guy time, and Joe told him, he said, it's not about how much money you make, it's how you manage it.
Yeah,
he said, right. I can teach you now at 17 what to do. You can retire by the time you're 30. Mm-hmm. He said, if I only knew what I know now. Right. He's like, but if you will listen to me, he's like, I will help you. And so, but none of this would be possible without the workshops we've been to, without the people that we've come across and now are in our circle. Like, it's just all about that, making our people better. And so I was writing my vision down, and I put his little block there because it has a spot for like family, right? What you see your family. And so I had that emotional connection with my kids, and we're like, I want to see them. You know, I do see, you know, my middle daughter wants to cheer in college, and she's probably going to go away. Like, that's just, that's her personality. She's going to thrive wherever she is. But my youngest loves photography and videoing. So I put her down as like, she's a junior and she's already making money doing stuff for our business, you know, and JoJo's, you know, like has his own house and is making, you know, cause that's what I think about. Mm-hmm. I was like, if he's got his license in 3 years,
yeah,
the boy can be making good money, mm-hmm, and maybe decide to just.
Maggie, what does any of that mean for you?
It just, it, because that's my goal, is to like,
what?
To give my kids like what I didn't have,
which is,
I think that financial stability, that financial freedom, and like.
You can't give somebody financial freedom, so what are you trying to give them?
I'm trying to give them peace. You know, like, it's hard to put it in words.
No, it's not.
That's... without getting emotional, but I'm just trying to give them, I'm just trying to set them up to be able to just, I don't know how to say it, but because we get back and forth about, like, I know that money is not whatever, you know, it's not the end all be all, but at the same time, like, I want them to be able to do well and to have the things that Joe and I didn't have, and still learn from their mistakes and things like that, but be able to provide for their family, or, you know, I don't know.
Peace.
Peace, yeah, is my big thing. Yeah.
Clarity.
Peace, clarity.
Freedom, stability.
Stability. Yep. All those things. But, and so, you know, we, that's why, you know, like, talking about taxes, you can pay your kids up to, I think,
$6,000
a year. You know, it's tax-free for you, mm-hmm, tax-free for them. You can set up self-directed IRAs for them, which we're doing, and they can purchase investments through those self-directed IRAs. Like, there's so much that you can do, and it doesn't matter how much money you make. It's how you manage it and where you put it. And these kind of, and I think that's why I'm so passionate about going to these events, because of what they've taught me. And how they have, I mean, they've changed our life.
I was going to say, it's going to completely impact the legacy of your family for literally generations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the ROI, like, yeah.
Game changing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you guys. Do you go to the flashiest events? I mean, like
flashy, like at the conferences.
No. I mean, like, here's the thing: is when you were talking.
Sorry,
I was sitting here thinking about, like, we had our big sales business meeting today, and we talk about being careful where you get your information, because what's the driving force? Do they want to click? Is that how they get paid? Are they looking for a scare tactic because they can get you into their coaching program, mm-hmm, and tell you that they have the fix or whatever? It's just interesting because as I'm thinking about Rachel going through Matt's coaching, which is intense,
mm-hmm,
to become a coach,
mm-hmm,
it isn't sexy.
Mm-mm.
It's hard work,
mm-hmm,
but that's how you've gotten access to some amazing rooms. Katie, about you, wealth, like, to go to your first workshop, you had to have a plan,
mm-hmm,
to get to, what, 50 million in net worth?
In 30 years, yeah.
And was that easy to put together?
No, at the time, no, because I was like, I mean, once you put it together, you're like, then you realize, oh my gosh, all I have to do is buy 2 houses a year for the rest of my life.
I mean, that's one way of getting
there. Getting there, but what I mean is,
then you,
like,
get there and you're like, I don't want to buy 2 houses. I'm like, I'd rather do this instead. But yeah, you putting it, took the time though to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been like, oh, I don't even know where to start with this thing. Like, I can't go to that room because I can't even, like, focus long enough to
have the conversation. Yeah. And I mean, it was a big workbook you guys got.
Yeah,
and it was like, do this.
Yeah.
I mean,
I remember when they brought it to the team meeting, or I talked about it, I'm like, okay.
Oh, yes,
yeah, that my brain wasn't
everything.
Even there yet.
Yes, it's a lot.
It's a lot. And then what about you? Are you, like,
are the stuff where you really are getting into the meat and potatoes and you take away action items and ahas, are they sexy or is there like you
there is nothing sexy about mortgages. There is nothing sexy about mortgages. It is usually calls all the time. Sometimes you get somebody that's appreciative and will fill out a referral, or most of the time you get people who are disgruntled about one thing in a 4-month process, and that's what
they are. You get. Yeah.
So no, it's the least sexy.
Yeah, and when
career.
You're and when even at events, the reason I'm saying that is because I think about where we get our information, and we're all very purposeful about what we will go to.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And I think we probably all do this. We probably all keep our room, like the things that I look at or that I read or that I join is a very small group of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I don't listen to a lot of noise, and I run from drama.
Yeah.
It's probably the best way to put it. Like
can show up in a lot of different formats.
Yes. And so like we'll just throw it out there. The NAR stuff on social media, some of those sites that about the referral sites that we've always been part of over the years in real estate, like a lot of those I've deleted. I'm not interested. Yeah. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole of hearing all this stuff. Like I keep where I get my information at a very small pond.
Well, and I think too about the NAR stuff, and I think it was last summer, maybe prior, and I know you know this because we've talked to you about it, where Joe started saying, this is coming, this is coming. I mean, probably a year ago or more, because of my coach. And she's even higher level, has access to, you know, some higher level people than myself. And so it trickles down. And so we knew, we didn't say anything to our team because we didn't want to scare anyone.
Yeah, but as business owners,
prepping the back end. Back end. And we already knew, okay, things are going to have to change. And then once we got to the end of the year and it became a little more, and like, because I even remember sending you a script and, you know, and I did run it by someone and they told me it was a little premature, but I still said, okay, as long as you approve it, even though it's premature, we're going to run with it.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that I did, because we started training our agents back in like February and March, or I mean, we completely revamped our buyer's consultation for what's going on today. And so my agents are so well prepared.
Well, better prepared better to prepared. Educate the consumer.
Yes. And at the end of the day, that's all we're trying to, and like, so I don't want to talk too much about the lawsuit stuff, because the only thing we have deep dived into education, we talked about this at the KW conference, we've talked about it extensively inside these walls, is how do we protect our clients?
Yes. Yeah.
Because the sheer volume of misinformation that's out there
is astonishing. Yeah.
And I'm thankful for KW because they've prepared us extensively.
Yes.
I mean, so much. And there's, you know, and then, yeah, again, that's why even brokerages matter, because there are a lot of people through those, you know, Facebook groups that I was like, oh my goodness, who are you affiliated with? You're posting anonymous, so I have no idea, but you need to go talk to your broker, you know, and thankfully we do have the resources and all of that. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, things like the market at a higher level, you know, going to mega camp, going to family reunion, like I love hearing from Ruben, as like dry as Ruben is, but he's one of my favorites because Ruben is the economist, chief economist at KWRI International. And he knows it. October, he said, he predicted this year. And he said, I hope I'm wrong, but this is where I think we're going to be. And even at the beginning of the year, when everybody's like, the rates are going down, and they didn't, they actually went up. Like, he predicted all of that. Mm-hmm. And I had already come back and told my team, like, this is what Ruben's saying, so don't get too excited until we see it. And so it's just those rooms that you get into that you are privy to some information, and you can come and share it, sure, and we do,
It has nothing to do with that.
It has nothing to do with it being private. Anyone could come in. I mean, like the girl at our panel at Fannie Family choosing. Reunion that was like, oh, I'm not an agent. I just snuck in those seats.
Yes.
You know, it's putting yourself in those rooms and knowing, like, they're going to make you better. They're going to make you a better business owner being in those rooms. And it is absolutely worth it. Now, are there seasons where you have to cut and decide to not go to certain things? Absolutely.
I think you can't go to everything anyway.
You have to be picky. And we've been very picky this year.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, even the smaller rooms, like us being able to spend time together and us doing things, we all bring value to each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm better at what I do because I know all of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I definitely am better at how I approach my work because of you, because you really don't, unless you're friends with realtors, you don't really see the full thing. All you see is, or hear is the person on the phone wanting you to pre-qualify this person. And why aren't they pre-qualified? You know, that sort of thing. You don't really understand. You don't walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah.
So, well, vice versa.
But I think it's important to align yourself with people who are, if you can't be in those high level rooms, then figure out how you can align yourself with someone who is.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's why we coach. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, we have coaches. Like, we don't have the ability to be in all those rooms, in all those higher level rooms. But if I'm aligned with somebody that's preparing me or that's sharing, that's powerful. Because we know as real estate agents, you start off, it's expensive. Excuse me. And a lot of you can't go to these conferences. If you're part of things that are bringing the information back to you,
lean in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I first got in the business in 99, I was with another company that's still around. They were at one point a pretty large company. And there was a lady who's still in the industry. Her name was Terry Dobbs, if she happens to be listening to this. At the time, she was probably 15 years into the business. So she's probably 40 years plus. And she now, I know I ran into her at a GAR function back in like 2017, I think. And she's lives north now, north of Atlanta. But I remember going into the first team meeting there at that office, and I was only 23. And she said, "Darling, if you want to be successful in this business, you have to show up and do everything." And I said, "What?" She goes, "I want you to get plugged in everywhere that you can get plugged in and do it." She said, "You can't halfway go in and go out. Like, you can't do real estate some and then go out of it. You got to just jump all in." And I never forgot that. And so instantly I went to every team meeting. I went to every women's council thing, every GAR thing, every local board thing, and just learned everything I could. And I've never stopped that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I would have done it if she wouldn't have told me that that's what I needed to do to be successful. But the agents that do that, whether it's going to an event, if you can't go to an event, then get involved in your local community of realtors, either with a team meeting or in classes or anything, because that's where you actually learn. That's your learning from the others that are in the industry. You brainstorm, you bring things and share with each other. And I think that was one of the best pieces of advice I ever could have had, was when Terry Dobbs told me that, get involved with that. And I just encourage anybody to do that. If they're not, they need to continue to do that. Yeah. Or do it if they've never done it before.
Yeah.
And in my industry, you know, I'm a salaried employee, just so you'll know. I'm a salaried employee. I get paid minimum wage no matter what.
I was gonna say salaried-ish.
Ish. Yes. I think it's
salaried-ish.
I make $7.20 an hour no matter what. If I actually I work and I get paid commission too. So if we close a loan successfully and we get paid a commission, then they claw back the $7.20.
It's really a draw. That's why I said ish.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a W-2.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a W-2 employee. And the one thing I know, the only reason that I'm really still here and doing mortgages, loved it, is because I originally worked at, I told in the beginning, I said I worked for Home Bank And I then was asked to help a very, very good loan officer, female loan officer, because that's a whole different dynamics when you have somebody working for a male.
Yeah.
That's just an assistant.
Mm-hmm. Very much so, yeah.
But that's exactly what Sandy, if I know you're not listening to a podcast, but, if you were, Sandy was involved in everything. We were involved in home builders. We were involved in the Gwinnett chapter of Women's
Council.
Council. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there was something to join,
we were joined.
Yeah. And that was huge. And the builders I ultimately ended up working with, I met through home builders. And even though some of my jobs, she knows this, would be Sandy's tiny woman, and she talked with her hands, and they would have all these like casino nights or whatever. Yeah. And my job basically was to make sure her glass of wine didn't spill on on the tables, you know, the casino.
You were learning though.
Oh, yes, I learned that if you drink an alcoholic beverage with Diet Coke, and then you tell the bartender, I don't want the alcoholic beverage, just keep serving the Diet Coke with lime, that a builder can't tell the difference.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they're buying you drinks as fast as they can, because they go, oh, the young little blonde one, let's just see how far we can get her off base. No.
No. So he's like, not my first rodeo.
No, my husband was always the salesman when we, that's why we came down. He was working for National Data, and he's the one that told me that when he was taking clients out, he would have a drink, the first drink, and everything else, he had no alcohol because he wanted to, but they were drinking because he was paying, but he needed to stay clear headed and focused on what he was doing.
Best story, Tommy and Wendy, I hope they're listening. This is one of my favorite, like, random, like, this along these lines, is Tommy calls me on Super Bowl Sunday. Okay? Mm-hmm. Super Bowl Sunday. It's Tommy, Wendy. I answer my phone. They're not ones to call me. Yeah. Like, it has to be something, like,
something going on.
Something's going on. They're not one to be like, hey.
Yeah.
Random, right, whatever. I'm like, okay. Well, I'd had two margaritas. I was two margaritas in, and I am not, tequila and me, it's like night-night time. Like, I'm not that fun. I'm going to bed. And so Tommy's like, I got a question for you. I really need some help real quick. And I was like, that's fine.
Right.
But I'm going to asterisk this with,
yeah,
you're going to have to run everything through a tequila filter. It is Super Bowl Sunday, it is 4:00, and I answered my phone.
Yeah.
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 Past that, I hope I gave you good advice. I couldn't even tell you what it was or anything, but I will never forget that, because I was like, I don't, yeah, because you don't want to be giving broker contract advice or anything else to anybody.
Yeah.
It was a margarita or two.
I do the same thing. No matter who calls me, if it's a realtor, I will always pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. If I can't pick up the phone now that there's text, I will text you, tell you exactly what I'm doing and when I will call you back. But I usually always pick up the call. But if it would be somebody like any of you, I would say, hi, listen, I'm just gonna tell you.
Letting you know.
I'm happy to help, but we're half a bottle of wine.
Transparency. Yeah. Listen, if you take nothing else from this podcast, if you're gonna have a cocktail or two and you're a business owner, just disclose it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you can do with the information that I give you or
ask me tomorrow. Yeah. Right. Or not. Yeah. Doesn't matter. But take it with the filter.
And a lot of times I will say, this is what I think. I've had, and I do love bourbon, so sorry. I said it was wine, but it's usually,
I was like, why are you apologizing?
Well,
we've talked about cars and bourbon now. I think we've thrown all the podcast, like, normal stuff out the window.
Speaking of drinking too, though, I think you know, because these events can be really fun. And yeah. I have seen people, unfortunately, overdo it.
Overserve themselves.
And then they spend all this money to go to this event, and they missed half of it because they didn't feel good. And so it's like, if you're going to an event, please, you know.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you're clear about what you want to get out of it.
Exactly. Yes. And I think that's the, and I think, too, every season of business is different. What you're looking for is different. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you are a new agent, you know, you can go to either Family Reunion or Mega Camp.
Don't go to Keller Mega Camp.
Yeah, probably Family Reunion. But if you're with, you know, Keller Williams, but it's knowing prior what you're going for, because you're going to be overwhelmed with a lot of information. Yeah. And I think, and then I think as you've been with the businesses, as you've been to Family Reunions and Mega Camps, it becomes more of like a networking, like who can I have lunch with? Who can I have dinner with? Who can I get it? What room can I get into? Like the big rooms are not as important as your smaller rooms and meeting people. You know, as
you
like go,
if you see somebody in a big room,
finding them,
go get their information and then get coffee with them while you're still there. Yeah. Like, I think that is the biggest missed opportunity at all of those events is like people take the notes from the big, and it's hard to come back and implement. You're like, that's a great idea, but there's a gap in implementation. Mm-hmm. Nobody started up at the top. Everybody's been grinding out somewhere, and they can be like, oh yeah, hey, when I was starting, this is where I started. Maybe try this, this, and this. But if you don't ever have the, to your point, if you never go and have the conversation and get into a smaller room with that person, you're never going to know that.
Yeah. Right. And it may be, too, like, I know with my coach, she always encourages me, like here recently, we're, she's like, you need to go to a team that's ahead of you.
Yeah.
And I've always done that. I think I've asked you for help before. Like, I think if, that's one thing I've done always. And I think because you encourage that too, is like, go to someone who's already doing that thing that you want to do and go ask them how they're doing it. Or that's a little ahead of you, like go ask them how they're implementing that. And so for me, I think that's been very valuable, and that doesn't cost money. And for the most part, those people will share with you. And if they don't, then go to somebody else. But, you know,
and to your point though, when I do encourage that, because typically when people come up to me for feedback, I'm like, I'll give you my perspective, and I am a perspective.
Yeah.
Here are who I would go talk to, and then go find two of your own. Mm-hmm. But you better freaking be prepared with the questions you're going to ask that person. Don't waste their time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a whole collaboration over competition. Yeah. You know, a lot of people get lost in the comparison game and then also the envy game. And instead of asking people that are doing what you want to do versus, like, you know,
who's Eleanor Roosevelt
scarcity.
Said
scarcity, yeah, mindset.
Scarcity mindset. No, it is. And if you live in scarcity, you will, in favorite bold law, which Focus On Expands, you live in scarcity, you will create scarcity. Period.
Yeah.
End.
Yeah.
When I listened to, was it a podcast or something where they said, like, share, like, I think it was a
It was in MAGA camp. They just talked about this.
No, but it was an older podcast at one point.
No, it is. It's that guy. But it's like, share all of your secrets.
Oh, the Roy Vaden story. Yeah. Yes, but it was another, it was a podcast about real estate. Mm-hmm. And she said she was a top listing agent somewhere, and that they asked her to come in and do her listing presentation to, like, kind of like we have team meetings. And she was like, oh my gosh, well, no, I don't want to do
they were going to rip it off and then be her competition.
Stuff. And that's what whoever this person was telling you was like, you will get better just from sharing your information.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're putting it out there and people are going to see that it's similar to yours. But not only that, like, it's, if they implement it, great. But if they don't, they don't.
Right. And 90% of them are not going to implement it.
No.
And unfortunately, yes. Yeah. But you have shared and you have, and so,
you teach to get better yourself.
Yes.
You do not teach and share. I mean, yes, we give back all the things. 100% you can guarantee that you will get better by teaching and sharing.
Exactly.
Like I always say, like, don't, your ego needs all of the seats in the classroom to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
Your skill set. Benefit, like, it doesn't matter if there's only one person there.
Yeah.
Because it's irrelevant.
I mean, I've gotten so much just us doing our masterminds together.
Me too.
I mean, as far as like me having a conversation with a seller or buyer has gotten so much more in depth just by doing that. And it's not that we haven't been role playing and scripting and dialoguing, but just I guess it being front of mind mm-hmm. for so many months that we've just, yeah. it's just been very easy for me to have those conversations.
It changed my perspective mm-hmm. because even when we're researching something or looking at something and then you get the feedback from other people, I mean, cause you guys are doing this with the team too, like, cause you're all doing mimicking. I mean, we're doing yeah. all the same yeah. kind of things, but it's like when you're having those conversations, it does. Me and you have had ahas in the middle of teaching stuff.
Yeah.
And it's something you could have seen 10 times, but because you're up in front of your people teaching it, it's big. Yeah. I'm going to read this and then we're good. We're out of time, but I'm going to read this. Eleanor Roosevelt said this. And I think this is, if anybody on YouTube can see this, if you're not, if you're listening, there's sticky notes all over my desk and mm-hmm. most people, and I have a board of sticky notes and most people think these are to do things and they're not. What most all of these are, I have a few on my desk, like down that you can't see. And those are all, those are like random, like, hey, don't forget to do this. All the sticky notes are things that are impactful to me that I want to look at regularly. And this is one that really hit me. People who talk about people have a small mindset. People who talk about events have an average mindset. People who talk about ideas have great minds and mindsets. What people talk about shows their mindset and their thought processes. What mindset do you show up with?
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. That is.
Yeah, that's really good.
So yeah, that I keep on the side of my computer mm-hmm. and I wanted to make sure I quoted that correctly.
Yeah, that's good.
So with that, we'll end. You guys good?
Yep.
Good.